Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Game Day Record Book podcast with me, Danny Kelly. You know the drill. I'm supposed to be compiling some kind of physical book of everything that's happened this season, illustrated and with hand drawings and photographs. None of that seems to be happening, but we are still providing you week by week with a record of everything that's happened in the Premier League and beyond over the weekends as they go by. I'm delighted to say, really top-class team in the studio today. Tom Rennie, who so often helps us out here, is with us. Hi, Tom.
You're very chipper today, I've noticed. Did Arsenal lose and Tottenham win? Is
that
what happened?
Hello, everybody. Oh. That was just Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. I thought I'd start straight, get straight in with Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
Very good.
Alongside Tom, I'm delighted to say, well, familiar voice, a familiar words as well in newspapers and magazines, but these days the coach of Östersunds in Sweden, of course former Aberdeen, Sunderland and others, goalkeeper, delighted to be in the presence of David Priest again. How are you, David?
I'm delighted to be here.
Good man indeed. We'll try and keep off Sunderland if we can,
please,
for fear of causing you too much pain.
Let's keep things cheery if we can do.
Well, and that's why I think we're exactly right.
I didn't know Sunderland still existed. That's great to know. Playing
well,
football
the
as
town
well.
Or the football team?
Both.
Football team.
You know where we live now.
They're
it's 2019.
In danger now of being one of those teams that gets trapped in a division, aren't they?
Yeah. We don't even win the first back with a vote on an election night.
You're not even a good
no.
lead.
No, that's right.
Beaten by Newcastle.
Who won it now? Newcastle were the fastest.
Yeah.
No wonder you moved to Sweden.
Well, I mean, we'll move on.
All right. We'll try to make a space for Sunday before the end of the show.
Saka is ready to come on. They've kicked the ball off to make the change. Didn't make the change and were happy to play on with 10 men against Manchester City. Their goal is as much about De Bruyne's brilliance as Arsenal's incompetence. 3-0.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, of course, something we need to discuss, things like that. The fans were not happy when he walked off either, so something we need to talk about.
Raises right arm in the air and whips it towards the back post. The keeper comes out, it's gone in off Lindelof at Everton. Have the lead here at Old Trafford. A fluke of a goal. But it's Lindelof who scores the OG.
We started off quite chipper, so why don't we begin the actual stuff with the worst performance of the week. David, you're our special guest. Why don't you try here?
Well, I'm going to stick to my usual narrative of goalkeepers, so I'm going to go with David De Gea. Now, it's not particularly because of his performance against Everton. Mm. Per se, but a mistake that led to the goal. I believe it was a mistake. A lot of people thought it was a free kick when Calvert-Lewin came across him.
When he got punched in the face, you think that was a free kick?
Well,
you can't believe that was a foul.
When that guy ran at the goalkeeper and basically assaulted him, I think it probably was a foul.
Well, he attacked.
Okay, we'll take a vote on that. No, it wasn't.
Well, you must be running VAR because you've got no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I don't think that was a foul. I just think that was the meekest. Anyway, he
jumped into him.
He is a very large man, a professional goalkeeper. Under normal circumstances,
hey.
These are what I would expect, given the position he started with. David will help me with this. I would expect the oncoming forward to be outside the six-yard area by the time I finish with him, and the ball to be on the halfway line.
Look, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is the man that jumped into him. We know he's got rock-hard abs. He's basically the Dwayne Johnson of English football.
We will hear about
according to his
Instagram/Twitter
page.
Well, I'm going to blame David De Gea's manager for this, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because a few weeks ago, I remember when there was some incident.
Swedes hate the Norwegians. That's what we're learning here.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. But he said he was quoted saying, "This isn't basketball, it's football, it's a man's game."
Yeah.
Now, the way that David De Gea went to tip that ball away as if he was going for a tip off in a basketball match.
Mm.
And he must have known that he's been here long enough. he looked like he just arrived in when he arrived from Spain in the first place. He looked very timid, didn't go with any commitment, wasn't aggressive at all, and he got what he deserved.
And Tom, this isn't about you, but you know, the final proof that it wasn't a foul was he didn't even appeal for a foul because he knew it wasn't a foul.
He didn't appeal because he's been in the Premier League for 10 years and he knows that that is given as a foul 9 times out of 10. Almost every time you see that, that is given. And he thought, I'm going to get... He was so blasé about it, he thought he was going to get a free kick for it.
What about...
There's no need to appeal for the obvious.
And his other 10 teammates, they didn't bother either?
There's no need to appeal for the obvious.
Okay.
And also, we're meant to be living in a VAR world where decisions get right. And I think that's definitely happening.
And the thing that's...
You name one wrong decision... Actually, no.
The thing that's done it for me, though, it's like I said, it's not the mistake itself. We all make mistakes. I've done plenty of them in the past myself. But he's doubled down on it. He's tweeted a picture of the incident himself where it's a still of the incident, the arms across him. And it is, okay, it looks bad in the picture, but why do that?
In the language of many, many ITV series which feature mock Cockneys, he's mugged himself right off there,
right
hasn't
off.
He? Yeah, sorry, you're a West Ham fan. You probably...
I actually am from East London as well. I could have done that for you in my natural accent.
Oh, very good.
I wouldn't
have
gone Dick Van Dyke on it.
No, of course not.
No.
No.
Not like you did. I kind of want to hear David Priest's top 10 mistakes. That's really what I want to hear. Life or football? That's the real show.
Well, that's the edited version.
I know your worst performance of the week. I really want to hear it, but I just want to throw this in. The officials who made... I mean, I didn't know whether to put Danny Ings as my hero of the week for keeping going under tremendous provocation. But in fact, the worst performance of the week was the officiating crew, if I might use an Americanism, who saw that Danny Ings, bless him, did everything to try and get a goal for Southampton. Now, it's not bad enough that he hit the post in a normal one. He then... Well, you can help me with the actual the order of these things.
So the first one is the left-footed volley, which hits the crossbar. And again, how often does that hit the crossbar and go in?
Off the backside of the goalkeeper.
Exactly. It's a brilliant, superb technical effort that should have gone in. And then Shane Long, you know, who's a dreadful, dreadful finisher, he's got an open goal to aim for and he didn't know what he was doing and it hits the side net.
But that's not Danny Ings' fault.
No, but he could have helped Danny Ings in converting that opportunity.
He got some kind of inadvertent assist, yes.
Moments later... he's played down the right channel, one-on-one with the goalkeeper, offside flag goes up, so David Martin, the goalkeeper, doesn't really dive for it. Ogbonna stops running for it. He's onside by a mile.
Yes, as it turns out.
And so if it had gone in, then it would have counted, but he hit the post. Then the worst one.
Well, then he gets the ball on the right-hand corner as he's looking at, left-hand corner as he's looking at the penalty area, cuts across into the inside, onto the inside of his right foot, releases a shot that Roberto Carlos was probably going, wow, did you see that? And it rockets into the goal past David Martin and is then disallowed for some kind of phantom. I didn't see an offence.
There's no
even
foul. There is no foul. Name and shame these officials. These officials must be known.
Well, Martin Atkinson was the main one.
Well, he was already...
And you've sent me a message with all the others and I haven't opened it yet.
Haven't you? Do you want me to read them for
you?
Yeah,
why don't you do that?
I'll read them for you because these guys need naming.
Yes.
Assistant referee, Lee Betts. No.
No.
Dan Cook, or other assistant referee. Don't know where Andy
Cook,
was at.
No.
Fourth official, Rob Jones, former Liverpool fullback. Could be.
Yeah.
No. VAR, big fat John Moss.
No.
An assistant VAR, Andrew Halliday.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Danny Ings could have had a hat-trick. I mean, admittedly, you know.
It was basically a hat-trick.
Yes. I'm not sure Southampton were very good except for Danny, and maybe they deserved to win that game.
They did.
But that was a really poor performance by the officials, and they robbed a football that I keep mentioning could be one of those years where someone's going to get 20 goals and go down.
Yeah.
You know, Mitrovic style. But there you are. But yours is more topical, your worst performance of the week.
It's an appropriate topical gag. My worst performance this week goes to Jeremy Corbyn.
Full stop, over, yes, well
it's
done.
I'll tell you for why, and why is it football related? Well, in midweek, his Reds were beaten by a blonde bombshell known for deception. On Sunday, his Reds were beaten by a man who's deceptively good at football and also blonde in Kevin De Bruyne. And like most Arsenal fans, Jeremy Corbyn also didn't start life as an Arsenal fan.
No.
He chose them. And so he deserves our ire for that reason. It leads us to Arsenal. Isn't just Jeremy Corbyn is an awful week. Arsenal Football Club this week. Every single performance. I was at the game on Monday. I'm staggered to this moment how they beat West Ham United.
Because it struck me that
so bad.
When West Ham were ahead, you think, now, if this was a kind of all-in wrestling match, One of them's on the floor with their nose broken, and the other one has got their foot on the throat of the poor fella or lady, because, you know, Brittany's all inclusive these days. And I thought, there's no way in God's green earth that Arsenal are getting back into this game. But you're a West Ham fan. What happened?
West Ham are the only team that could have lost that game to Arsenal on Monday because they don't press the opposition. And the amount of times they spat the ball back to West Ham in desperate need of conceding a goal. And for some reason, West Ham were incapable of doing it. Probably didn't have a second striker.
Tell us about your dad.
So my dad and I went. We don't get to go at too many games together because I work at the football, so we don't get the chance. Monday night football,
top
we go.
To go with your dad
We've had a nice dinner. We've got and met some of the old crowd down the pub. Had a lovely day. My dad's in his early 60s, so if we go at the pub beforehand, he misses about 40 minutes of the game due to bladder control issues.
I think I can confirm that, yeah.
Yes. You know where my dad wees? That's concerning.
No. You're always...
When did you meet him? In the urinals?
No, you've got that camera in your toilet.
Oh, that's
home,
what it is,
yeah.
And I give you the password. Yeah. It's a whole thing. I don't know why you asked for it. 60th minute, we're having a conversation, as you do at the game, and we're like, you know what? There's no way they score a goal here. This Arsenal team are worse than us. These two have been in the bottom six. It's appalling. He goes to the lavatory in the 60th minute, comes back in the 66th, and he's like, are we still beating them? What's going on? I was like, Dad, they're beating us 2-1. And there's big screens at London Stadium. My dad's not wearing any specs. And he's also had about 11 pints of mild. And so we're not going to be able to... he can't see it. And so he's like, you've got to be joking. And they score again. And that's when people start walking
Hold
out.
On. He's drinking mild. You must be talking about your great-great-granddad, not dad.
Pint of mild. Pint of mild's good for anybody. At any age.
I didn't even know if it existed. I still didn't. I thought it was like Sunderland Football Club had gone the way of
it's
things.
It's a bit like
my dad's had pubs all my life. I've lived in them for 30 years.
You must have had
never heard of a mild.
You've never had a pint of mild?
No.
Oh, come on.
When
Treat
I was
yourselves.
Growing up a long, long time ago, hence the bladder problems, people used to drink mild and bitter, a filthy mixture of things put together in a pint glass. Still mild.
You walk down the wrong street in Sin City, you can find anything. That's where I like to live. And I know where you find a nice pint of mild in the Stratford area.
That's just an excuse for people getting the dregs out of other people's drinks to just pour them all.
It's also a pound, yeah. It's also a pound.
Yeah,
and everyone's extremely aware afterwards. Anyway, I can tell you that the third went in. It was 3-1. People started leaving and Dad started saying, why is everyone leaving? It's only 1-1. We can still win this. And everyone was like, seriously, it's 3-1. Shut up, mate. Anyway, they were awful that day. Arsenal, they were rubbish against Adel Liège. And on Sunday, the performance was so inept and pathetic against Manchester City. And people will say, no, but Manchester City, they're the greatest side in the country. They're the Premier League champions. No, I'm sorry. City, though good, were up against a side in the second half that were 3-0 down. They knew they were 3-0 down at half-time on what was offered in that second half. It was so pathetic that Freddie Ljungberg brought on the youth team so the boos wouldn't be so bad. And a friend of mine was at the game, and he said the guy next to him was just playing Pokemon all game because no one was watching it. Playing the kids.
Essentially, Manchester City were grinding Arsenal's team up.
Yeah.
Like that's how much wood chip. You don't fire the kids into the machine. Send on the senior process. Try and sing this out for us, will you?
Lacazette remains on the bench. Smith-Rowe and... Willock, come on.
Unbelievable.
And also, a quick line on Mesut Ozil as well. So we saw Granit Xhaka getting booed off a few weeks ago and a young Premier League debutant was coming on for the first time for Arsenal. This week, exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing this week. I'm being told not to rage about this anymore. Let me just tell you, Arsenal were the worst team of the week.
We haven't got time. I mean, you set off one of my favourite tributaries. Should goals that you don't see if you're at the game, should they stand? because, you know, I your dad was right.
Yeah.
He only saw 1-1. We'll do this another week, because I'm really convinced that you should be allowed to disallow goals that you don't actually see.
What's the best goal you've ever missed?
To be fair, I've played in many games where I've not seen the goals.
Yeah, they're blurring past you, David. It's usually because we've had too much mild to drink. Here's our worst performances of the week. David De Gea, Jeremy Corbyn and Arsenal, or Martin Atkinson and his fellow officials ruining the life of the lovely Danny Ings. David, you still want to stick with David De Gea, or have you been convinced?
I can't go against Arsenal, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, that defence, it's like the transfer policy, recruitment policy, has just been buying mannequins, basically.
Nicolas Pepe, £72 million. I mean, he looked good when he was up against a League One defender in Arthur Masuaku, but apart from that, he's done nothing.
That's just another excuse to have a go at Masuaku, isn't it?
Ugh. Another one that should be getting his P45. Like Jeremy Corbyn, eh?
Look, and far be it from me. I don't want to appear biased, so I'm gonna go along with the pair of you. It is Jeremy Corbyn and Arsenal are the worst performance of the week. Do you think Arsenal at any stage won the argument?
Bruyne turns away from Guendouzi. Kevin De Bruyne! 3-0 to Manchester City. Kevin De Bruyne's masterclass continues. A left-footed drive into the bottom corner.
Goodness, Bournemouth so close to a goal there. Billing was the man on the line. There's an offside call, I think, against Gosling. He's got the ball into the back of the net, Dan Gosling. And the goal stands, Dan Gosling! What a moment here at Stamford Bridge.
OK, what about something more positive then? Let's do performance of the week. Why don't you start this time, Tom?
Well, as vitriolic as I feel about Arsenal Football Club and their horrendous, embarrassing, disgraceful performance, did you see Freddie Ljungberg laughing at the end? Shaking hands with Pep Guardiola, just laughing it. Oh, it's great to be here.
It's odd, wasn't it?
And he's divorced
the manager who just handed his, had various parts of his appendages sent, handed to him, was laughing. Guardiola just won 3-0 away from home. Barely raise a smile, could he?
He looks livid because he's unhappy to be there. He doesn't want to be there anymore. We all know that. We know that's the facts of it.
He's got this break in his contract coming up as well.
Well, which he has denied vociferously, and in the era we live in, that confirms that to be true. Anyway, my performance of the week, it isn't Man City in general. It is their midfield general, Kevin De Bruyne. The man is pure, unfiltered, premium class. He's like a pint of mild down the local pub in Stratford. And the thing is with him, right, football for him is just so easy. It is just so easy for him. That goal he scores, the first goal, now bearing in mind it's 90 seconds into this match, he doesn't usually play attacking right-hand side where he was at the start of the game. The ball comes to him at pace, on the bounce, and without breaking stride, he side-foots that ball into the net, past the goalkeeper and defender, clips the crossbar, and everything is just so smooth. It's like when you watch Inside the Factory, and they're making like little chocolate caramels, and the caramel plops out from like a little caramel gun, perfectly weighted into the cup of chocolate before the lid goes on and is sold. That's something I watched this week. It's perfect.
It sounds like
it's delicate. It's a little fetish, yeah.
But
have you ever watched the Inside the Factory for Quality Street? Other chocolates are available, but not as good at Christmas. It's exactly like...
Which one gets left in the bottom of your family pile?
One eats praline, do they?
Which one eats that. What?
Praline? No one eats that.
Yeah, of course they do.
Do
yeah.
you? The little green triangles?
Oh, my brother would kill for those.
My
brother Andrew, if you're listening, Andy, and we'll get those for Christmas, don't worry.
Did he lose his taste buds in some kind of incident?
No, he likes them.
Do you know you can get ones now where you just decide what you want in the box with your name on the front?
I think that's a disgrace.
So I've had a big... It's ruining Christmas now, but I've had a load of Rennie Streets made for my entire family.
Right.
And it's just strawberry creams.
But they're the ones that I find disgusting.
No!
Yeah.
Well, that's Christmas ruined for you.
Yeah.
Do they do coconut?
Chocolate-covered ointment nobody wants.
There is the purple one used
to be
coconut.
Do a coconut, yeah. I'm not a big coconut fan.
You're not a big fan.
Why would you ask
if they did coconut? Did they do it? Yeah, no,
so strawberry creams. Did you know the advent of how they came, no pun intended, how they came about?
No.
There was an ointment for minor cuts and bruises called Germaline.
Oh, I use Germaline.
And Germaline
went out
of business. They thought, we're going to do all this pink
stuff.
They
still exist, Germaline.
They largely went out of business. What are we going to do all this pink stuff? They now put it into Quality Street strawberry.
No.
That's what it is.
No, I'm calling full
chocolate
bull on
covered
that.
Germaline.
I'm calling full bull on that
I
entire story.
I bet you
story.
I can get a vote on it. See, the producer agrees.
If you do cut yourself this week, don't rub a strawberry cream on the wound, okay? That's what I'll say, because it won't help.
No, you'll die.
You will. You'll die of a chocolate overdose. Anyway, he is much like a caramel squirt gun. He's fantastic.
Ken De Bruyne, who I think is, since the departure of Eden Hazard, probably the best midfield player in the Premier League.
In a fair world, he would have got... I don't care about the Ballon d'Or because, of course, I live in England. Why would anyone care? But if there was a fair world, this guy would have won several Ballon d'Ors at this point.
How would he won ahead of Eden Hazard and what he did in this country?
Well, he literally did what Eden Hazard did in this country for Manchester City.
Now, listen, what I was going to say was the only argument against this, because he's a fantastic footballer, is that he was playing against Arsenal.
True, very true. However, you've got to give it to him for this as well, because he should have got a hat-trick this week. But his third effort... He did something I love. I love it when this happens to players. He takes the shot. It's so perfect the way Roberto Carlos bends in. Leno makes an incredible save. I thought Leno was the only Arsenal player to come up with any credit.
Yeah.
But he's already celebrating. He's already wheeling off left. And he deserved that hat-trick. And if not a hat-trick in the Premier League, is our Hero of the Week not a... Or Best Performance of the Week award, not a suitable secondary reason to celebrate.
But in my list of absolutely brilliant things in football, I've got the shot from outside the area that bends and hits the side netting on the goalkeeper. So it doesn't even, never hits the back of the net, goes into the side netting inside the post.
Right.
That is one of my favourites. But way above that is players celebrating prematurely before the goal. So that was a golden moment when he didn't get that goal and his hat trick. My best performance of the week, and it's actually a week that has accelerated a season that he's having, and I think we sometimes forget, because we're always getting these reports, you know, but every time a player has a bad game, that's it, they're finished.
Yeah.
And we were being told that Jadon Sancho at Dortmund, and of course England player as well, had a poor start to the season. Well, poor start to the season wise, he has become the first player in any of the big leagues in Europe to have both 10 goals and 10 assists. Now, I don't want to get American football on everybody's ass, but, you know, he's got three passes and he's run 45 yards as well with the ball.
Don't talk about professional catch
around
here.
10 goals and 10 assists. And, of course, in the last six games, which is why I'm bringing him to the fore this weekend, he has got 7 goals and 4 assists. Now, if he was doing that against Arsenal, I'd be laughing. That doesn't really count. With all due respect, if he was doing it in one of the lesser Scandinavian leagues, perhaps might want...
Oh, but he's done it against Union Berlin and Freiburg.
You don't believe in German football now?
I don't believe in Union Berlin and Freiburg, no.
David, I'm sorry you've come in. This is like private grief now, me and him arguing.
No, not at all. I think he's the type of player that you want to watch every week.
Yeah.
He does tricks which are not just superfluous. You know, they're actually getting past the player. They actually do something. There's an end product to it.
And also, he's had a row with his manager as well. So he's got that sweet drama of him and Lucien Favre kind of hate each other.
Yeah, but after
I want players to have that little extra bit of magic.
But after the drama of leaving Man City, you know that he's...
spiking.
He knows his worth, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So the issue here is, I mean, clearly he is a fantastic footballer. The feeling seems to be that he will be coming back to England soon, but can come back to Manchester United, having been at Manchester City.
Why would you take a step down like that? Why would you go from a team that are going to be in the Champions League, beat Mainz this weekend, 22 games, 11 goals, 12 assists, on par with Lionel Messi for form, and go to a Premier League middling side under a manager that's not going to be there soon enough?
And if he was that bothered about Manchester City, he wouldn't have left there in the first place.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about Manchester United.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm saying he wouldn't move there.
Chelsea then?
Yeah, he wouldn't have left Man City, would he, if he loved it so much?
Chelsea,
I can see it, because they're going to spend big money, because Frank Lampard, of course, is being found out massively for being a second-rate championship manager. And that's good to see. It's all Frank Lampard's kids. It's him doing fantastic with the youth team. They didn't buy anyone, apart from Kovacic for 60 million and Pulisic for a similar amount. So they didn't buy anyone in the window, apart from more than the budgets of almost every other team in the league. What was the question?
I thought Frank Lampard was a former West Ham hero.
I just can't this week, because we're talking about Jadon Sancho not being as good as Kevin De Bruyne, and I agree.
No, Jadon Sancho deserves the prize, but actually David has gone for performance of the week, not an individual.
No, I've gone for Bournemouth. I've gone for their win against
good.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Did someone say Frank Lampard? Right, the thing is with Frank Lampard...
Do
you still like Frank Lampard's dad? Or has the son so tainted him that Frank Sr. is now off the books as well?
Why do you think Bournemouth were the performance of the week, David Priest? Tell us.
Well, apart from the fact
that... hates the Lampard family, hates all of them.
Frank Lampard Sr. is welcome to my house anytime. For dinner, for lunch, for breakfast.
Take penalties.
Frank Lampard Jr. could pick him up.
Who do you think Frank Lampard Jr. votes for? Who do you vote for in the election?
I think we all know exactly who he voted for.
Is that behind your ire?
nice use of the word ire as well. Yeah, now, Bournemouth.
Yeah. Yes, Bournemouth. Yes.
Anyhow, it's not been a great time for Bournemouth. They went 11 games without a win, got beat off Burton in the League Cup.
Yeah.
If that's a case for make sure you feel a strong side, not make too many changes, it can help you in situations like this if you win games like that. It doesn't make that run seem so long. But only one win in 11... And they come to this game, and he seems to have a thing over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. It's the third game in a row that they've beat them. I was there last year. I think it was 3-0 last year.
Wasn't it Conte? No, it was Sarri's first loss at home or something like that, wasn't it?
Oh, that might be 1-0 last year. About being Conte was the 3-0.
Conte was the one before,
Before that, yeah, exactly. And he just seems to be able to set up and know what to do with Stamford Bridge.
But the amount of injuries they had, David, suggests that he could put any 11 people who live or vote in Bournemouth onto the pitch, they would beat Chelsea.
But that might be the case. And I think he stood up for his team and said that, well, OK, we've had a lot of injuries, but we still had a very good team out there. And if you look at the 11 that's on the pitch, it's still a very good 11 despite their...
Well, if you can win a Premier League game with Simon Francis in your side, then I'm not too sure you can say it's a good team. Like, he's...
Says West Ham supporter.
He's Masuaku level, isn't he, Simon Francis? Let's face it, Championship now. God bless him and all that. But some people are clinging on to a living in this league, and most of them play for Bournemouth.
That's just not fair either.
Of course it is. Dan Gosling, clinging on. Great goal this weekend, sure, but only because everyone thought he was offside because the flag goes up and he's the only one that remembered the rule these days. Keep on playing to the whistle. You know that rule you were told when you were three? Do it. But no one told Azpilicueta or Kurt Zouma or anyone who plays for Chelsea or Kepa. But I mean,
you're forcing me to go with David here as Bournemouth Philip Billing, performance
Championship
of the week.
Player. Chris Meppham, Championship player. Simon Francis, Championship player. Dan Gosling, Championship player. Dominic Solanke, not even a footballer. I mean,
and that's why it should be performance of the week.
You know what?
Going to Stamford Bridge and win it.
And he's right. He's absolutely right. But my point was also right. We're all right here. That's the important thing.
But
and
David,
yet we still lost
it turns
the argument.
Out, is more right than others, and Bournemouth are indeed our performance of the week. Sorry, Kevin De Bruyne and Jadon Sancho.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Fresh legs really to be honest with you. I had three or four strikers on the bench. I wanted to make another change and unfortunately he was a kid that come back off. It was a big call, but I thought we might come in and run around as well, to be fair.
Here they come forward again with Antonio breaking challenges and scoring! Mikel Antonio makes it 2-0 for West Ham United. It's hammer time! They lead 2-0.
Oh, is it? I think it may be pulled back for a handball.
Oh, no, wait.
I think it was a handball. Listen, it's a really tough
it's
goal.
No it's goal. It's yeah. No goal. No way in a million years.
David Priest still carrying around the rather heavyweight title of coach of Ostersunds. Does that come with a uniform at all?
It comes with a tracksuit, yeah, it does.
Yeah, and to have epaulettes, because when you're a big wig like coach, I would demand epaulettes if I was a coach.
What, with like stars on?
Stars, yeah, all those badges. Those fringes that hang down off the epaulette. I really, really
Marie
would.
The Armin.
Janet Jackson had a full Soviet submarine commander's uniform and the big hat and everything, and she has no military standing. So once she had that,
she doesn't run. She doesn't run the Russian
Soviet. No, she doesn't. No, but she had the uniform.
I couldn't even finish that.
What I want now is epaulettes and a big hat.
That would be a great double bluff. That if she's working for the Russians
all along.
Yeah,
all along she was a Russian
in plain sight.
Explained to me? Excuse me. You know that massive hat she had, which is obviously a Russian submarine commander's hat.
I don't know this hat.
Oh my God! She
Describe
had a white
this hat to me.
Massive white peaked hat. And she had a suit of clothes, very like David Gold's. You know that big coat he wears as well?
Yeah.
Or Sullivan, no, Sullivan.
And Sullivan's not in the Russian military
either,
I don't
think. He looks like he is. But what was never explained to me, and this is why it may be a double bluff, is if your hat is that big, how do you look through the periscope? Because we see in films, you just spin it round, right? But the back of it was huge as well. It looked like she could shelter several animals underneath the brim of that
hat.
Hat
now. We should get these hats as like uniform for the
producer,
programme.
Producer, can you produce on your phone, please, Janet Jackson's big hat, and we'll have a look at it.
Can I ask David a question about his wardrobe, Ostersons? Because Stuart Pearce, who works here, and we all love him, I've seen him at a lot of games now, and he only exclusively wears clothes that he got from clubs that he worked at. So he's still wearing his West Ham big coat, irrespective of whether he goes to a game. He might go to Millwall, he's going to wear his West Ham big coat, and who's going to tell him otherwise? Do you wear your, like, Ostersons clothes around the street? Have you brought them back to England with you? Do you wear any of the stuff you got for free from being a footballer? Because, of course, you get your leisure wear without having to pay for it.
I do. Well, most of the time I get changed out of it as I'm leaving the stadium, but we all have, rucksacks on our back with our initials on.
Like you're going to school?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're like 40, so right? You can't have that.
So when I'm walking around town, yeah.
Do you have your name in your underwear?
Have you seen my underwear?
He has a camera in your house. That's like he's got in my dad's.
But this is the thing, though. For the best part of 30, 35 years, all I've worn is tracksuits and sportswear, and I absolutely can't stand it.
Really?
I can't stand tracksuits.
See, now, this business about them getting footballers, getting free gear, we'll get back to the show in a second. I've got the opposite thing coming now. As you know, listeners, regular listeners will know, I recently emigrated to live in the Republic of Ireland, out in the country, and we have got a reasonable-sized field behind the house. It's on a slope, and I want to walk around and around the field, for A, for exercise, and B, for the view and all the rest of it. Now, this is my excuse to buy a pair of Puma Kings.
Because when
I was playing football in Hackney Marshes, I could not afford Puma Kings, and they looked to me like the absolute zenith of not just football boots, but human achievement to date.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to persuade, Christmas is coming, the lady wife to buy me, look at the shape of me and the age of me, a pair of Puma Kings. They're over 140 quid for the...
They're 140
They
pounds.
Really are incredibly
You're
expensive.
Joking.
Yeah. And I want to wear them with the tongues hanging out like they do just to walk around the field. Now, she says, get Wellingtons. No. Puma Kings for that. Or Adidas World Cup, Adidas Mundial. What was your favourite boots when you were playing?
I like the Predator.
Yeah, of course.
For a goalkeeper?
Yeah.
What's the point of them Predators for a goalkeeper? You want your balls to, like, go straight up in the air towards the centre-forward.
It's because I always...
Not swazzing around in the air.
I always used to kick the ball out of play, so, like, the curve on it used to correct it and keep it at the play.
Right, where are we? We're doing...
Can I tell you something about Puma Kings?
Yeah.
So John Moncur used to wear Puma Kings for West Ham in the mid-90s. My favourite player in 94-95. You know, lovely, bouncing, blonde bob of hair, Johnny Moncur. And he had the Puma Kings with the kind of... the collar that flopped over, the tongue that flopped over. So I got a pair as a present for Emblem FC back in the mid-90s.
Lovely.
Very nice. Played for 1 week, and I thought every time I kicked the ball, it hit the tongue, and it kind of bounced off weird. So after a week of playing with these boots, obviously they're muddy now, we can't take them back, so I took a knife and cut off the tongue.
What's the point of buying
sacrilege.
Them?
Sacrilege.
Well, I know, but they looked fantastic, but I couldn't kick the ball. And so I had to cut them off.
Now, I know we should be cracking on here, but I remember when Jason Dazelle was signed from Ipswich by Spurs.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be the next big thing, right? And he had a pair of Puma Kings, but the tongues were even bigger than normal. They seemed to be almost two-thirds of the way down the boot. And Jason was absolutely dog-awful for Spurs. And I was convinced it was because the boots were so flippy-floppy with the tongues and... Not only was he no good at football, he couldn't even find his way out of the centre circle for most of his career at Spurs.
They must have weighed him down.
So our hero of the week then is the Puma King.
Yeah, John Moncur, 1995. God bless
you. 1 minute each then on the villain of the week. Right. There, I will do it that way, okay? Because we're taking so much time. I'll start. Alfredo Morelos scored for Glasgow Rangers in their 2-0 win at Motherwell. Great. 21, 22 goals already this season in the Scottish Premier League. Unfortunately, no player in recent memory has been more about himself and not about the team. He'd already been booked. When he scored his goal, he ran behind the goal and gave the Motherwell supporters the well-known Italian kind of forearm...
Up yours.
Yeah, the up yours sign. The referee had
I was just saying it. What were you talking about?
The ref had no hesitation, none whatsoever, in showing him a second yellow card and his first red card of the season, which, of course, must be a great relief to Alfredo because he's got to catch up with last year's record of 5 red cards. The boy is a nuisance.
I love him.
He is an absolute... He's a really good finisher.
He would love that London Stadium. He would love it.
Yes, I know. But if he was going to be...
If you're listening...
They would have bought him by now if he wasn't such a git, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
He's my villain of the week. Who's yours?
Well, I've been given all full assurances that he doesn't listen to the show, so I've gone for Big Dunk.
You're not afraid of Ferg's. He's an old man.
He's a big old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's he decided to bring Moise Keane on. I think it was 70 minutes.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, about 70 minutes. 19-year-old kid, been through a tough time coming to England, being a bit of top.
Adjusting, it's fair to say.
Yeah, exactly. But missing home, but might go to it, back to Italy in January. Thought he'd give him 20 minutes, last 20 minutes of the game. Nah, he doesn't think he can do that. Brings him off in the 89th minute. And frankly, I can't see why he didn't just put an arm around his shoulder trying to explain why, when he came off the pitch.
The trouble
is, allowed him to just trudge off. They didn't even make eye contact.
Imagine Duncan Ferguson, right? Who my family's from Scotland, and I can't understand a word that he says. Imagine Duncan Ferguson trying to explain to a 19-year-old Italian what just happened. Like, that conversation is not going to go well for anyone. No one knows what's happening.
But David, you do know that subs being subbed is one. Obviously, it's a horrible thing for professional footballers. Fans love it.
Oh, I wish Carlos Sanchez got subbed after coming on Saturday.
You'd like him to be not even to as he's running onto the pitch, say, no, come back now.
When he came on and gave the ball away 5 times in 2 minutes, and they brought Issa Diop on West Ham, and I was like, just take Sanchez off. Like, it's a mistake. It's a mistake for him to be employed. Take him off.
Ever since Ali Deer at Southampton, all fans love
the
double substitution. You're on, son. No, come back in now. Do you know? And it's a bit like when you go, I don't know, you're about that much younger than me. When I was going to swimming baths when you were a lad, they still have the elastic bands you have to put around your wrist.
We don't even have swimming baths anymore. What's a swimming bath?
You probably have your own private pool, I imagine.
What's a swimming bath?
Is
that what they would have called a public pool in the Victorian era?
They were called baths, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that they still do that.
Oh, good. And then after 25 minutes, they go, green band boys, out. And you'd be trying to hide your band so they wouldn't throw you out. You go through another cycle. It's a bit like being substitute after already coming on. Who is...
I don't know what's going on anymore.
No, you don't have to. Tom, who is your villain of the week?
The Green Band Boys, out.
Yeah,
also,
Green Band Boys, out.
My villain of the week is David Ellery. Famously...
Is he still going like Sunderland and Mild?
Famously, supped a pint of mild with the Green Band Boys. He works at IFAB. He is the technical director.
Is IFAB a food chain?
IFAB not only make ice lollies, but also they set the rules for world football. One of the rules they brought in at the start of this season was every single time an attacker handles the ball in any situation, building up to a goal, that is an offence. It's led to travesties like Gareth Bale's brilliant goal for Real Madrid being disallowed against Paris Saint-Germain for brushing his arm accidentally and having no impact on the game. Yesterday, I didn't watch the first half of West Ham. I got home just in time for the second to see Mikel Antonio score West Ham second. It comes off his barrel chest into his path, grazes his arm, but it's going into his path pretty much anyway, and he blasts the ball
grazes.
Past the goalkeeper.
I'm not
grazes.
Grazes. Well, you're both wrong. We've got no time for you both to be wrong. It's going straight into his path, and I thought, well, he's going to get this now because it hit his arm. It hitting his arm was a pure accident, and we shouldn't be, and it happens every week. It's not just West Ham this week, but every single week a good goal is disallowed because it grazes someone's arm.
Okay.
If it hits the hand and goes in, disallowed it. If we keep playing on, then play on.
And this is one of those few occasions, Tom. No, it's one of the few occasions where I find myself in absolute agreement with you.
No.
Or to put it another way, I totally disagree. that rule that was brought in is fantastic because the whole idea of accidental handball, particularly for, I mean, I don't want it for defenders because that is accidental, but attackers, if it hits their arm, it's just causing so much trouble.
Antonio tweeted an image on Instagram of two massive hands and said, it's happened to me twice this season. I don't know what to do. I think I might have to cut my hands off.
No,
that's where we are. He's got arms. That's how you run.
I love Mikel Antonio as a player, but he is one of the players who's going to be most affected by it because he is a very uncoordinated runner. The stuff players bounce off him, so does the ball.
Yeah.
It's going to hit his arm and his hand quite often.
But if he doesn't do it on purpose, why are we disallowing it?
Because that's the rule now.
If it hits the arm like Callum Wilson or it was Decore last year and goes straight in, fine, disallow it. But there was more play. There was another touch and he blasted the ball past the goalkeeper. It was an accident. You shouldn't be getting punished for an accident.
Is your opinion strongly held?
The moral of the story is only sign players with small hands.
Oh, we're soon going to see it. We're going to see it forwards. You know the way defenders now, when they're running out to block the ball, put their hands behind their back. We're going to see forwards running out the pitch.
I cannot stand that. That is one of my biggest hates in football.
Lucas Neal used to do that all the time. He was one of the first people I ever saw do it. And every single time he did it, he would then, in the next move, have his arms up because he had to move his arms out again and give a penalty.
Players doing it on the halfway line.
I know. That's what's stupid. I mean, I'm in really brilliant defence. Toby Alderweireld started doing it. I think since Mourinho's got there, he's been told, don't be doing that anymore. Get out to the ball, my son.
Yeah.
I mean, because for a start, the running action requires arms. And if you put them behind your back, you're slowing yourself down. And all you need to do is get out to the blinking ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very, very difficult, and in fact, let's be fair, difficult to listen to section. So unless you're interested in, was it Janet Jackson's Big Hat or Mild?
I think Janet Jackson wins this.
I think I'm for this. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm sticking with Alfredo Morelos. I'm happy to hear arguments for your...
Just about the Janet Jackson, we're talking like Rhythm Nation sort of time of her career.
Yeah, a little after the Rhythm Nation, yes.
Did she have another time in her career?
She's
still
times,
going, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. What do you mean, breathing?
Yeah, I thought ever since the end of the Soviet Union, she would have had to get a new career. Ever since she stopped being Submarine Commander Jackson.
Do you know
Jackson?
You can buy those Soviet submarines, the ones that, the Kiev class, the ones that kept sinking, you can buy those now for about $40,000.
From the Jackson family?
No, the Jacksons don't have the Soviet, the current Russian, whatever the state is called these days, when they're so,
London, they call it,
they're
don't
so they? Busy doping up their athletes, they haven't got time for a navy. So you can buy one of those subs to live in for about $40,000. Who is your villain? Who are you going to go for your villain of the week? We've still got Duncan Ferguson, what he did to Moyes, the handball rule, or Alfredo Morelos?
Alfredo Morelos, I think, yeah.
No, I was going to say Big Dunk. So you've actually caved on your own argument and supported someone else. Well done, Jeremy.
Morelos is the red card for the red card king.
Now here's a lovely pass from Lise Pukki, who's clear to Inchu inside the box, and Timo Pukki has steered in! The Pukki party is back up and running at the King Power!
It seems like he has a fracture in his toe, but he wants to go further on. If I'm honest, I'm pretty sure if he would be at his top fitness level, he would have converted one of his chances in the second half to score a second goal.
Oh my word, an audacious back heel by Salah from a tight angle to make it 2-0. What an unbelievable Mohamed Salah goal!
Now, we'll try not to get to as distracted as we did in the last section there. Although, you can also listen to, after a couple of days after this podcast comes out, we have a baby brother, a baby sister, called The Appendix, where all that stuff normally gets put into. But today, some of it's escaped. But don't forget to download The Appendix as well, from exactly the same sources as brought you to this wonderful programme. I'm Danny Kelly, still with me David Priest and Tom Rennie. The last section is our Hero of the Week. Who should go first this time? I think, Tom, you'll go first.
My Hero of the Week is the Norwich City striker, Teemu Pukki. Not only did he score a fantastic goal against Leicester City in one of the performances of the weekend, but also he played the second half with a broken toe. And if you've seen Teemu Pukki play football, isn't the kind of guy you can just leave up front, Aubameyang style, wandering around, meandering, not interested, picking up your paycheck. No, he works until the hair has literally fallen off of his head. And that is one of the key reasons that Norwich is still in this, despite having maybe the worst Premier League squad of all time, because they have the mentality of people like Teemu Pukki, who actually is a fantastic
Hang
footballer
on, they're,
as well.
They're worse than Bournemouth. They haven't got one player worthy of being in the Premier League.
I would
you?
Say, apart from Teemu Pukki and Cantwell, there is no player at Norwich who should be in the Premier League. Buendia, potentially.
But we saw that a broken toe, we saw with David Hay in that fight, a broken toe can destroy a man.
Well, the amazing thing is this led me down a little blind alley of searching for players who have been injured during matches but played on. Most famously, goalkeeper Bert Trautmann, who broke his neck in a game between Manchester City and Birmingham. It was the FA Cup
final
in 1956. Visibly crocked during the game when he picked up his winner's medal. Trautmann had, in fact, broken his neck during the game. The doctor, after the game, said to him, "I can't believe you played on. You should be dead."
Don't forget, he had been a paratrooper with the Nazi forces, so it was tough stuff.
It's well worth Googling this story. There's a great line about when he was captured as a German soldier during the war. Hello Fritz, fancy a cup of tea, was the line given to him by the Allied soldier that captured him.
One of the great goalkeepers of the post-war era and an absolute hero around the area of Manchester and all the rest of it.
Played with a broken neck and still won the cup final.
I mean, Timo Pukki's broken toe seems small stuff by comparison.
But it is worth mentioning that I was once at a game where, again, Stuart Pearce gets two mentions from me on this programme.
Yeah.
He broke his leg in a game against Watford, which I was at, and he tried to run it off.
Yeah. Sure,
he walked off the field, and everyone's like, "It doesn't look great here. Like his leg's got a bit floppy, but it'll be fine." He then came back on and tried to play for a little bit, and it turned out he'd broken his leg, and he was out for 9 months.
He is marvellous,
incredible.
Isn't he? And I've spoken to him about always wearing gear supplied to him by previous football clubs, because as you know, he is also a monstrous fan of punk rock.
Yeah,
and has seen the Stranglers 300 times.
300 times too many, some would say.
300 times, and I said so. Do you buy a shirt, like, or people do a T-shirt every time you go to the gig?
He makes someone give him a shirt.
He says, no, they give them to me, exactly.
Of course they do.
So he should be wearing his Strangler shirt.
If Piercy walks past here, he gets my jumper. He wouldn't want it, but he gets it.
I mean, look, Timo Pukki, very good, broken toe, carried on.
Broke his toe and didn't even pukey.
Bruce Grobbelaar, who I've interviewed at length for the My Sporting Life programme back in the day, a remarkable man in every possible way, has now added and yet another feather to the unbelievable headdress of awards that he has, footballing and otherwise. He says that he is the reason for Liverpool's, let's be fair, it's almost supernatural run of form now. 2 points dropped and we're heading for Christmas, full steam ahead. Amazing. And can add that to what they did last season. He thinks that there was a curse on the club, and that's why they couldn't win the Premier League. So in order to alleviate, some would say exercise this curse, he has done what I would say hasn't been done since, what was the Peterborough? Barry Fry.
Hmm.
He, when he's manager of Birmingham, tried to raise their curse. You remember what he did?
What did he do?
He urinated in all four corners of the pitch. Is that right? Yeah.
Barry Fry
was
such a bad football coach, he thought the best way forward for this team, he went and pissed on all four of the corner flags.
Someone said you're in trouble, and they took it literally.
Now, Bruce Grobbelaar has revealed that he's done a similar thing on the hallowed turf, indeed the goalposts of Anfield. And that is the reason, according to Bruce, he of the wobbly legs in the Champions League final, is the reason why Liverpool, nothing to do with all those fantastic players and that hugely brilliant manager who's just signed a new contract and all the rest of it, it's down to him weeing on the goalposts.
I mean, I heard of utilising your number one, but this is ridiculous, eh?
Would it bother you if the goal area had been soiled in such a way?
I mean, no.
Where have you weed in public, David? Where have you weed to lift a curse?
But you know what? There's one thing I wouldn't do, and that would take the mickey out of people who believed in that. Because I know that I play with a lot of African players,
mm-hmm,
who tell stories about guys being arrested for attacking people, and then they put them in the cell for the night, and they come back and someone's been during the night, cast a spell on them or whatever.
What?
And turn them into goats. Now, when I was in
did you say goats or ghosts?
Yeah. No, goats. He said goats. Like they're the greatest of all time now. These players. They still 1 minute over there.
I swear to God, when I was in there,
it's 11 Lionel Messi's.
When I was in Odense, I played with Eric Jemba.
Yeah. So United. Good, they named him twice. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we had four or five African players, and one of the guys was pointing out this story about I think somebody being done for, he'd attacked a woman or something, and he'd been put in jail, and then when they got there next month, there was just a goat in the jail cell. And like we all started laughing and taking the mickey out of them, and then it was like deadly serious.
Yeah,
they wouldn't want anybody laughing at it.
And this is why football is so brilliant. Since we all started, you're now a coach in Sweden, players come from all over the world, our players are starting to be exported, this culture clash thing, and we must all respect other people's cultures, always comes about. Because speaking of goats, he played for both West Ham and Spurs. Les Ferdinand, get him going on his short, ill-fated spell in Turkey. Now, Les is a big, strong man, yes, but he's surprisingly sensitive. and his I can't remember which club. Please look it up for me. It might have been Fenerbahce that he
Besiktas, I think.
Besiktas, thank you. And he said he went to the very first game he played. He's running out and doing his stretches and all the rest of it, pulling the old quads and all that. And at the side of the pitch, they were slaughtering a goat. This is where the goats brought. They were slaughtering a goat because that is their traditional pre-match good luck ceremony. Well, Les was thinking about leaving the club before they kicked off his first game. Oh, yeah. No, seriously. He very, very upset by it and didn't stay there very long afterwards.
That would be upsetting. I don't think I'd be able to play on having seen a goat get slaughtered pre-game. That's I actually feel quite unsettled by that.
But that's a true
story.
More
than if I saw one in a cell when a man was there moments ago. I think the slaughter would be worse.
Next time you
Would you rather see a mythical goat or a dead goat? Tweet in now.
As someone who's eaten goat curry on more than one occasion, them boys are delicious, you know. I'm not saying you should be slaughtering them on the side of football pitches, but them boys is tasty. That's all I'm saying. I think the hero of the week, although brilliant though, all those stories were about ghosts, goats, Grubbelaar, Pookie's toe. I think the winner's already known to us because David is about to tell us, as part of the Goalkeepers' Union, a fabulous tale.
Yeah, there's only one winner for the Hero of the Week, and it goes back to... I'm assuming that this was Watford's home game against Crystal Palace last week.
Yeah, it was.
There's an 80-year-old man. He's been a Watford fan for 60 years, just suffering the onset of dementia, and he still goes to the games by himself, leaves the game... goes to his car. His car's got a flat battery.
Oh.
He's obviously not of sound mind at the time. And he decides that the 10-mile walk home is a one that you make. So he does it, and part of it is walking alongside a dual carriageway. And as it happens, he falls down a ditch.
It must be dark as well by this time.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark, it's cold. And fortunately for him, somebody saw that he was tottering along the road. Maybe he's looking a little bit disorientated. Turned the car around, pulled up alongside him to make sure he's all right. It was Ben Foster and his wife and his
mother and
father.
And they found the man in the ditch?
Yeah, well, they'd saw him further back down the road.
Weaving.
It didn't look right. It was a dual carriageway, no path. Looks a bit, you know, he must have broken down or something.
Mm.
And when they go back, they find him lying in the ditch. He's fallen in there. And what they do is they put him back in the car, in their car, take him home. Dust him off, wash him down, and then give him some food. And
lovely.
And then on top of that, they've made him the offer of Christmas dinner at their place on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And a season ticket for the rest of the season.
Oh, that is remarkable. Now, Tom, you can turn almost anything into flippancy. Surely you're not going to come back at this.
Apart from the Watford season ticket, it seems like a lovely, lovely thing to do.
Yes, you think that's destroyed it, has it?
It's over now. He must have said something terrible at dinner.
I mean, I don't know Ben Foster from Adam. I don't know if you've met him.
He's a great bloke, and he's the one thing I've always noticed about him is when he talks about football, he's not that interested in football. To be honest with you, he's not a typical
not like you.
Well, exactly. He's got far more other interests. He's a
well, that's
character.
Possibly reflected in the fact that he went back to look for somebody who just looked like he might be in a bit of trouble. And I love these stories where footballers intersect with real life because. You know, this is a cliche, but I'm not afraid of cliches. All we ever read about is them doing terrible things, getting tattoos on the end of their nose and all that sort of thing.
I'm glad you said nose there.
Yes. I you probably know much more intimate tattoos in the football fraternity.
And put your tattoo away.
Has he got... Oh, he's got it out again, yeah.
You're not on this side of the desk, are you? That's the thing.
And no, you're lucky. I'm lucky. Yeah.
He's actually looking at it now.
Well, no, of
course
I am.
The worst thing about it.
You've got it out, mate.
I don't think... I think it would be almost sacrilegious to try and have a discussion about this here. I know that's the part of the purpose is arguing on this programme, but I think that was a great story, beautifully told, David.
Yeah.
And Ben Foster, rescuer of... A man in distress, nothing stronger than that, is our hero of the week here on the Game Day podcast, the Game Day record book podcast indeed, where you've been listening to me, Danny Kelly, Tom Rennie, argumentative and regular, and David Preece, who I love working with, and these days is the coach of Ostersunds. David, we'll end the show the way you wouldn't want us to, because what else would you expect from this show? Give us 60 seconds on the state of Sunderland Football Club. Thanks very much, David. That was just brilliant. See you next week.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.